Welcome to Under the Fig Tree. I'm Troy.
And I'm Bruce.
And today we have a wonderful topic that we want to share in front of you. But before we do that, a couple shout outs I want to send to our folks in Russellville, Arkansas. They have been listening to us, and in Boise, Idaho. Also in Seven Lakes, North Carolina. I've never even heard of Seven Lakes.
Neither have I.
Yeah, so lived in North Carolina and South Carolina most of my life. Never heard of it.
Now we know.
Now we know. Cordova, Tennessee. Also, Bruce, Frankfurt, Germany.
Oh, man.
I love that.
Sprechen Sie Deutsch.
Yeah, man.
So we speak Kleiner.
You still got it a little bit.
Kleiner, just a little bit.
So, yeah, we wanted to make sure we acknowledge some of those folks there. And listen, we love everybody that has been listening to us from all over. The fig tree is growing, and it's growing pretty quick. So yeah,
that's cool.
We've already reached out to Australia and to India and, you know, a whole bunch of different places. But
wow,
we give glory to God for that.
Amen.
So today, Bruce, you want to introduce the topic?
We're going to talk about altars today. Altars. The altars of God. Can I say it like that? I'll just say the altars of God, and maybe we'll call it the altars of man. We'll talk about both.
Let's talk about both.
And the sacrifices that are sometimes made on altars and all of that good stuff.
All right.
I know you have a foundational scripture you want to start with.
I think it was Deuteronomy 12.
Yes, sir.
If I'm not mistaken. So the foundational scripture was Deuteronomy 12. You'll find it in verse 3, and you shall destroy their altars, break their sacred pillars, and burn their wooden images with fire. You shall cut down the carved images of their gods and destroy their names from the place. You shall not worship the Lord your God with such things. So this is as Israel is about to go into the promised land. God says the promised land is already inhabited with people that don't know me.
Right.
And they worship everything else but me.
But him.
And you will be tempted to use what they've already erected and use that to worship me. And he's saying, I don't need that.
Yeah.
I don't need what the world has in order to usher in the worship of a true and living God. He said, tear all that stuff down, rip all that stuff down. It's polluted.
Right.
It's already contaminated. It's not sacred. And it's profane.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
You don't bring that into the worship. So even with this, we already see there are altars that are authorized, and then right. There are some that's not.
Sure. Now, I know you had a definition for an altar. Let's give a definition just in case there's, you know, folks listening who may not fully grasp what we're getting into here.
So one of the definitions I have is an altar is a place of sacrifice and a PowerPoint to draw spiritual and supernatural strength.
Wow.
Usually it was a raised place.
Yeah.
You'll see in the Old Testament a lot of times it was referred to as a high place.
Right.
So it was made of earth and stone. Sometimes it was made of different materials. You see it in the tabernacle. It was made of wood and gold and, you know, stuff like that. But for the most part, it's made of earth and stone.
Yeah.
A lot of times it was put there to commemorate an action or a place or, you know, something significant, and mostly used for worship.
Yeah. You know, now this is a bit of a side note, but as you were speaking, I thought about some of the different denominations that exist,
sure,
and how the minister at some point in time in the service will give an altar call. That's what some denominations call it.
Yeah,
an altar call, and it's interesting because I never really thought about it from that perspective. That people would come to what has been established in those churches as an altar.
Correct.
That's really interesting.
It is.
Because they come and so when you understand that, you know, an altar is about offering.
Yes.
You're offering. I would say it like this. I wrote down in my notes, altars and idols, right?
Right.
And an altar to me is where you worship your idol.
Correct.
Right. Oh,
man, we're about to dive right in.
Yeah, we're going to go ahead and go right in, right? Or you may say where you worship your idols becomes an altar. You could say it that way too.
Correct.
And so we look at it from the standpoint of like being in a church service. That's interesting. But for the most part, because we talk about living this life, talk mm-hmm. about living this kingdom life. And so I know we're going to get into it, how we ourselves are supposed to be the sacrifice.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And so we'll get into, I'm sure, talking about the altar of our heart and presenting ourselves a living sacrifice and all of that good stuff. I know we're going to get into all of that.
Absolutely. One place I want to go to is Genesis 8:20 and show you just another little bit of a definition of or a purpose of an altar. It was a place of separation.
Yes.
You're like, okay, what do you mean separation? Well, we could separate ourselves to God and from generational curses.
Right, right.
So when you look at it in Genesis 8:20, this is when Noah comes off the ark. And it says, then Noah built an altar to the Lord. So the first thing he did when he came off the ark was build an altar. He started right. to worship.
Yes.
Right? And took of every clean animal and every clean bird and offered burnt offerings onto the altar. So in order to take for the clean animals, he had to make a distinction between what wasn't clean
right.
and what was clean.
Sure.
So he's already doing some separation. Now, yes. in verse 21, it says this, and the Lord smelled a soothing aroma.
Yes.
Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake. So what God does is he accepts the worship, right? Yeah. And when he accepts the word, he says, I see what you've done. You've taken what was clean and offered that up to me. You've yeah. made the conscious decision to separate the profane from the right, clean. And right. you gave me the clean.
Yeah.
And in return for that, the curse that was on the ground
yeah.
for man's sake, he says, look, I'm not going to take out the judgment according to the curses on the ground. I'm going to separate you from that.
Yeah.
And I won't flood the earth again with water.
Right. Right.
You know? And so it's a place of separation because you've dedicated yourself.
What else I see there, Troy, mm-hmm. is how powerful and the proper altar can be.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a lot that you just said.
Yeah.
Out of that scripture, out of Genesis 8. That's powerful, man.
It is, man.
That God makes a decision to never flood the earth again based on Noah's decision to yeah. take the time to separate out,
yeah.
because that's a prophetic picture of sanctification.
It is.
Separating, but it's us that has to do it. Be ye holy, right. for I am holy.
That's right.
Right? And so we separate out, we identify and separate what is unholy per se, or what is profane,
mm-hmm.
and then offer to God that thing that is clean.
Yeah.
Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, mm-hmm. right? So that's powerful, man, that any one of us believers in Jesus Christ can do that and should do that.
We should.
And see the power of God manifest. Now, if we can go real deep, this sounds really bad. I'm going to say it. You cut it out if you need to. But I think about how many powerless churches there are right now. There's a lot of powerless churches, and it makes me wonder what's on the altar.
Well,
it makes me wonder what's being offered on the altar, because we know that clean hands and a pure heart puts you in front of God.
I think I can help with that.
Can you please?
I think I can. I think you're, you know how you play the game, you say you're getting warm, you're getting cold.
You're getting warmer.
White hot right now. You're like white hot right now.
Well, good. I'm glad they can't throw chairs at us.
In the Old Testament, there was a sacrificial system, obviously, right?
Yes.
And say, for instance, if you were somebody of affluence, there was a certain level of sacrifice that you could bring.
Right.
And if you were somebody that you weren't of an affluent background, you know, then God even made a way for you.
Yes.
Like even all the way down to a meal offering.
Yes. Yes.
So the highest level of offering you could bring God was an ox.
Yes.
Right? We see it in the Bible, the bullock,
mm-hmm.
but it's normally an ox, right? Bullock, ox, pretty much interchangeable.
Pretty much the same.
Couldn't bring that, bring a goat
yeah.
or a ram.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Couldn't bring that, bring us a turtle dove.
Yeah.
Can't bring that, you know, and it went all the way down yeah. to like, yeah. all right, just take some flour, unleavened.
Some unleavened flour.
Yeah, make some a meal. Cake out of that and bring
and
that.
Bring that, right.
Because he wanted everybody to be involved. Nobody's going to be excluded.
Right.
Right. If you can't afford this. But here's the thing. If you could afford an ox, bring an ox.
Right.
The problem that you see with the powerless churches is
yeah.
they could bring an ox if they yeah. wanted to,
yep.
but
yep.
they'd rather bring the meal.
Boy, that's it right there.
That's what it is, man.
That's it right there.
I could bring an ox, but
I'll
bring a lamb
that's
instead.
It.
You know, and that's where you see the powerless, because they're not doing all that they can. They're doing what they're not doing what Noah did when Noah took the animals and separated them. He said, yes. oh, no, this is no good. This is yeah. no good. Okay, this
right.
one's good.
Right.
No good. 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 They're not doing that. They're saying, I'll just give them whatever.
But with the expectation that God would receive it.
Correct.
See, that's correct. The thing that, you know what I'm saying, that, mm-hmm. that kind of boggles my mind, with the expectation that God would still receive it.
Yeah.
It's like you have no right to that expectation.
You don't. No, you don't.
But anyway, I digress. Let's go on.
I mean, we're only like 8 minutes into this thing or something like that.
Let's go. We can talk about Strange Fire too if you want to.
Oh my goodness.
Let's go ahead and do it, man.
We'll get ourselves in all kind of trouble. What do you have?
Well, I got Leviticus 10.
Okay.
Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it and laid incense on it and offered unauthorized fire before the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I emphasize unauthorized fire before the Lord,
yeah.
which he had not commanded them. That's what made it unauthorized.
Correct.
And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. I think God feels a certain kind of way about offering unauthorized fire.
Strange fire is not a good thing.
Strange fire is not a good thing.
Not a good thing at all.
I hope that we do a good job of relating this in modern times. And you know, what does that mean to me and you and believers listening as far as offering? How? In other words, let's say I don't know much about what we're talking about. My question would be, okay, oh my God, I hope I'm not offering God strange fire.
Right.
How do we tackle that?
Okay, let's talk about that a little bit, okay?
Okay.
So there's when... The fire that lit the altar comes from God, and then the people were supposed to carry that fire everywhere they went, right?
Right.
So God says, look, there's worship that belongs to me, but I'm even going to help you in that.
Right.
Get you started, right?
Sure.
Okay. So where we started was Deuteronomy 12.
Yes.
You're going to tear down all the altars and stuff. Don't use that stuff to worship the Lord your God.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Because that stuff is strange fire. It doesn't come from him.
Right.
Right?
That's right.
Okay. So I'm glad we're doing this where people can't get their hands on us.
We'd have to lock the door.
I know
it. Board the windows. They're throwing rocks.
Because I'm going to be quite honest with you.
Come on.
Strange fire?
Yeah.
Christian yoga.
Strange fire. Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Don't use those things to worship the Lord your God.
Come on, man.
And yoga is a form of worship.
Yeah.
To not just a God, but several other gods.
Yeah, that's good.
And people
man.
Will try to take that and put it together, taking something that's profane
that's
and
good.
Add it to the holy,
yeah.
and it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Now, people can say, oh, I'll just use it to stretch. You cannot change the origin of a thing.
That's right.
That's the meaning of it, what the origin is. And when you go back to the origin of this stuff, that's what you're actually practicing.
Right.
You can stretch without doing all
right,
that.
Right, right,
right. But
right.
either way.
You can't extract, you can't extract it.
No.
And say, okay, I'm going to take the good out of it when the whole foundation is not good because
correct.
It's unauthorized by God.
It's strange
fire. It is strange fire. I mean, that's tight. Like we used to say back in the day, that's tight, but it's right.
Yeah.
And you know what? God bless you. Anybody who doesn't agree, you are absolutely, you know what
absolutely.
I say?
Absolutely. Yep.
Absolutely free
yep.
to disagree.
Mm-hmm.
We're just laying some things that we know to be true.
True.
And at the end of the day, my opinion doesn't matter. Your opinion doesn't matter.
Nope.
Only thing that matters is what he says in the book.
Correct. Do not use these things.
Do not use these things. I mean, that's it.
To worship the Lord your God.
That's it.
If it's not pure,
yeah,
then it doesn't belong in worship.
Right. Right.
It's what it is. So
yeah, if we want look, we okay. So let's keep going then.
Yeah.
What about sampling? The world's music,
taking chords and stuff like that,
and using it sometimes just singing the whole song and trying to make it apply.
Do not use these things to worship the Lord your God.
When you know that the origin, or maybe you don't know that the origin, I mean, I happen to know that there are songs that produced in studios, man, where they've already prayed over it and they didn't pray to our God.
Yeah.
They've already committed it so mm-hmm. that it would do well and it would reach who they wanted to reach. And they didn't pray over, they didn't ask our God to bless it.
Yeah. It's true, man.
And then I go to, I happen to know, I've been to different churches where, some of the music is being played and I'm like, oh, I got to get out of here. Where's the exit? I got to get out of here. Where's the exit? This is where we are.
Sure.
I'm going to make a bold statement. I'm going to say, look, I hope that the listeners can take it.
Yeah.
Because the whole idea is to walk in revealed truth. Mm-hmm. Not to walk in ignorance, not to walk in some weird mixture.
Yeah.
But to walk in revealed truth. And that's what we're here for, and that's what we're going to do. And so you like yoga, go for it. Let me know how that's working out for you.
Yeah, yeah.
And if it ain't working out for you, be humble enough to say, well, maybe those guys were right.
Maybe so.
Maybe we should back up out of that. I wonder why my back is always hurting. And I do all this yoga, but my back is always hurting.
Yeah.
And I don't sleep well at night. And the children don't sleep well at night. And we haven't connected the dots yet.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because you're inviting in strange fire.
Correct.
And if you're inviting in strange fire, then you're inviting in demonic activity.
Correct.
Anyway, let's go on.
If the fire doesn't come from God, it must come from the other guy.
It must come from the other guy.
So that's what it is. So,
gosh, you're being mean today.
I know, man.
This is a mean. the altars. I have altar equals offering.
Yes.
Because I think I know they go together. You don't go to an altar unless you're going to make an offering.
Correct.
So and then it becomes, once again, who are you making the offering to?
Absolutely.
What is the offering and who are you making it to?
That's the reason, again, you go back to Deuteronomy 12. These altars were already used to offer to someone else.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
It's kind of like, all right, let's make it a little more practical, right? Mm-hmm. You get engaged, right? Mm-hmm. And the engagement doesn't work out.
Okay.
And your fiance says, hey, it's not working out. I think we need to go our separate ways. She gives you the ring back.
Oh, boy.
You find somebody else.
Oh, boy. Jesus. Right?
And then brothers, you offer
don't
them
do this.
The brothers, same ring.
Brothers, do not do this. Do not do it.
You offer that person the same ring that you just gave the other woman. And when she finds out about it, you can't expect her to be happy.
Let's make a public service announcement right now. Yep. Brethren, if there any brethren out there that's looking to get married, and maybe you realized before you said I do that wasn't the right one, or she realized it, go sell the ring and get the money.
Get the money.
And go buy.
Go buy another ring.
Go buy another ring, please. Yeah. Your food will taste better. Your life will be better. Go on.
But yeah, that's kind of how you to make it practical.
Yeah.
You know, we don't use an unclean place. You know, this is, yeah, think about who God is. And yeah. Why would you just, you take something and pull it together and I'll just throw him anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Think about who God is. You can't just offer him anything.
And once again, and have an expectation.
Correct.
That he's just going to be okay with it.
Yeah.
Why don't we understand anymore that God still has standards? His standards have never changed.
No, they haven't.
His requirements, let's go a little stronger than standards. His requirements, there are requirements of us who have chosen to believe in Jesus Christ and to walk this walk with him. It's not just, oh, I chose Jesus. No. No, it's a little deeper than that, right?
It is.
He has standards, and he puts requirements upon us that we live a certain way. I just quoted, that's another one. Be ye perfect, right? For I am perfect. Be holy, for I am holy. Sanctification is a dirty word in the body of Christ today. I'm going to change that. Sanctification is a dirty word among Christians today.
Oh, yeah. It's not a good word for certain folks.
Sanctification is a dirty word for religious people today.
Correct. Still required.
Being separate is a dirty word. There's a situation. Do you remember the situation? And I don't have this is off my notes. But remember when Abraham was out in the desert? He was in a dark place. He had an instruction from the Lord to take a heifer, split it in two.
Yep.
Lay the pieces on the ground.
Yes.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
God's going to come. Hey, I'm coming through, right? I'm going to give it into 2024 language. Hey, hey, Abe, I'm coming through, right? I need you to do this and have it set up because I'm coming through. He doesn't tell him exactly when he's coming.
Yeah.
Abraham takes the animal, cuts them in half, lays the two pieces out, right? And then the buzzards come.
Yeah.
And it's Abraham's responsibility to keep the buzzards away from his offering.
Yeah.
Until God shows up. But God didn't tell him when he was going to show up. And so nighttime comes and it's dark out there, right? Mm-hmm. And Abraham's had to fight buzzards off of this fresh, bloody meat all day. And then finally, this burning furnace, right?
Yeah.
Comes and passes between the two pieces.
Yeah.
And God cuts covenant with Abraham.
Yeah, man.
That's prophetic for us right now.
It is.
We have a responsibility. My whole point is we have a responsibility to God. If we say that we follow Jesus Christ, there is a responsibility. It's not just do what you want, offer God what you want, any way you want, and expect him to be happy with it. That's not that you've chosen the wrong belief, man. You've chosen the wrong Jesus. That's some other Jesus.
We have a responsibility.
We have a responsibility.
That's what it comes down to.
Yes, sir.
That's what I love, man. What else you got?
Hebrews. Okay. I'm going to be nice now. I'll go to Hebrews 13, verse 15. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice. Since we're talking about altars, right?
Yep.
Offer up a sacrifice of praise.
Sure.
That is the fruit of our lips that acknowledge his name. Ooh, that's good. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Now we get a different picture of what it means to make a proper offering before the Lord. Now he says, this is what I requirements, right?
Yep.
This is what I want. I want a pure praise.
Yep.
I want, you know what I'm saying? I want it to be a sacrifice of praise to God. I want you to not neglect to do good every chance you get.
Yeah.
I want you not to. He lays out what he considers a proper offering.
Correct.
Before him.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And I love the whole point of that, because even when you're saying, you know, to do good, that means that in order for you to do good, you have to do it for the right reason.
Yes, sir.
In order for it to be good. This is how we offer up to God. There's so many places in the Bible where we see these altars are established. There's certain people that were authorized to establish. I mean, Noah was, Abram was.
Yes.
Isaac, Jacob. Yeah. There's several people that were authorized. There was a few like Ahaz, trying to think, Jeroboam, King Jeroboam. There were some that built some altars that they weren't supposed to.
Yes.
I think in this life we see there are altars that are authorized.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are those altars that are not authorized. So I like what you're doing here as far as showing, like in Hebrews, offering up continual sacrifice. These are authorized offerings.
Yes, sir.
And they have to be offered up from an authorized place.
That's right? Exactly right. That's exactly right. I got another one.
Yeah.
1 Peter 2:5. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ.
I love it. You being living stones.
You being living stones.
Love it.
Are being built up. But no, okay, okay, okay. We can't talk about offerings and stuff without throwing in.
You have to.
1 Samuel 15.
Okay.
This is the whole idea of obedience versus sacrifice.
Oh, boy.
So Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. Okay, so now it's almost a juxtaposition, right? Because now the point that's being made there is, don't do wrong and then think you're going to cover it with an offering now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, God, I know I wasn't supposed to do that, Lord. It's sort of like King Saul, right?
Yeah.
I mean, God, you know, I know you told me to kill everything, but I killed most of everything. I should get credit for that, God, you know. You know what I'm saying? You know, and he's like, yeah, what? The prophet comes, oh, wait a minute. I thought you were supposed to kill everything. Why am I hearing sheep in the background?
Exactly.
You know, No, no, you can't willingly do that and then think you're going to give a bigger offering, whatever that offering is to you, whatever correct. You think you're going to give, and think that God, once again, is going to say, that's okay.
Yeah.
It's all right. I really like this. I mean, you gave a really big offering this time.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about money, folks. Money may apply to this particular scripture we're dealing with, but I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about the thing that you think you can offer God from yourself.
Yeah, and when I look at that scripture, I just reflect back on it. The only reason there was a need for sacrifices was because of disobedience.
Yeah, that's good.
In the first place.
Yes, sir.
So if you obey, there's no need to sacrifice. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. You see what I mean?
Yes.
If you obey, there would have never been a need to sacrifice. Adam did not have to sacrifice.
Wow.
Adam just walked with God.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Adam had his daily routine, I guess, just throwing stuff out there. Adam had animals to name. Yeah. He had a garden to keep. Adam had stuff to
Adam
do.
Adam has stuff to do, man.
Yeah.
Adam was like, wow, okay.
Yeah, he had things to do.
He had to clock in.
And so, but it wasn't until they transgressed,
yeah,
till they disobeyed, then now the sacrificial system kicks in. If you obey, there's no need.
Yeah. Yeah,
there's no need to sacrifice.
That's great. What else you got?
Well, I got in Amos 3, because altar is a place where you can intercede with God.
Mm-hmm.
In Amos chapter 3, verse 14, it says that in that day I punish Israel for their transgressions. I will also visit destruction on the altars of Bethel. And the horns of the altar shall be cut off and fall to the ground. Now, it's interesting here, Bruce, because he says, I will also visit destruction on the altars of Bethel.
Mm.
Bethel means the house of God.
It sure does.
And so this was an authorized altar that was used for something that was not authorized.
Right.
And so now you have to visit destruction to that place. And it's the place where they could intercede with God on behalf of the people, right? Mm-mm. And he says, you know what? I'm going to cut the horns off. The horns of the altar are going to fall to the ground. This is the place where you could hold on and live that life of restraint.
Wow.
Before God, right? He said, I'm going to cut that off.
Yeah.
I'm going to cut it off. I'll destroy the altar, even though it's my altar.
Yeah.
And it was authorized at some point.
Yeah.
You've defiled it.
Yeah. Yeah. Now it's profane.
And now I can't use it.
Man. And neither can you. Man. Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That reminded me of the apothecary.
Mm-hmm.
The instructions to make the ointment.
Yeah.
To make the oil very specific.
Yeah.
Very precise.
Yeah.
If you change anything, God says, nope.
Don't no
want
good.
It. Don't want it. No good. It stinks.
Yeah.
Like, but God, I only put 2 more ounces of cinnamon in it. I thought you like cinnamon, God. I thought, you know, I'd add just a little bit more, because the whole idea is you're not willing to follow the pattern.
Yeah, man.
It's a heart thing.
It is.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you know, it's not like, well, God, you added 2 more ounces of cinnamon per se, you know, and then God says, yeah, no, it stinks in my nostril.
Mm-hmm.
No, he's talking about the heart. Because he's trying to train us to do what he says the way that he says it. And anything less than that stinks in the nostrils of God.
Exactly.
Yeah, man.
Exactly.
Boy.
So now I do want to take a look. Bruce, if you're ready to go.
Yes, sir.
I want to take a look at some of these. Because we've looked at a little bit of the authorized. I think you had Romans 12.
I did.
Okay. So Romans 12 is another authorized altar, right?
Mm-hmm.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable act of worship, right?
Yes.
Okay. So now we're talking about the altar of the heart. Obviously, this is not a physical altar,
right?
You know, so to speak, but this is the altar of your heart, and this is the place where you lay yourself down,
yeah,
and you offer yourself up,
right?
And this is a authorized place. Now, you already mentioned clean hands and a pure heart.
Yeah.
Even in that process of offering yourself up, the altar still has to be undefiled.
Right.
Right.
That's right.
And so if the heart is not pure, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
then even when you offer yourself up from an unpure place, impure place, I should say, then how is that offering acceptable unto God?
It's not.
It can't be holy and acceptable.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And I would dare say it can't be either.
Right.
It won't be either holy or acceptable, either right. one.
Sure.
But you have to make sure that your heart is pure.
Yeah.
Right? That would be the altar there. So this is another authorized place.
Yes, sir. It's a heart thing all day.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, that's how we reconcile it so that people understand how to live it now. Understand the simple point that it's a heart thing with God.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
All day long.
Understand that he has standards and he won't change them even as much as he loves you.
Yeah.
As much as he loves me. I know God loves me because I'm still here.
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying? As much as he loves us, he won't water down his standards, nor will he allow us to water down his standard.
No, not at all.
This is why, okay, we might as well stay controversial.
Sure.
This is why he'll love.
Isn't that kind of what we do?
Well, that's what we do. This is why he'll love you and allow you to go to hell if that's your choice, because he's not going to override our ability to choose.
Correct.
To choose him or reject him.
Correct.
To choose his way, right?
Mm-hmm.
I am the way. That's what Jesus said. I am the way. So now we're not just even talking about a method.
No.
We're talking about a person.
A person.
When we even talk about choosing his way, and people get all messed up about that. Well, how can a loving God allow you? Because he doesn't backtrack on the thing that he has established. He keeps the standard that he's established. So when he gave human beings free will,
mm-hmm.
he never took it back.
No.
He won't take it back.
No.
But he sets a standard and he says, okay, choose ye this day who you're going to serve. Let me give you a hint. Come serve God.
Correct. No need in setting a standard if you don't have the will to reject that standard.
If you don't have the will to reject the standard, there's no need for a standard.
No.
That's exactly it, man. That's good stuff, man.
Yeah, I love it.
That's good stuff. What else?
So the place where you're pure, these are the authorized places of sacrifice. These are the altars that are worthy,
yeah,
you know, so to speak, to offer up to God. Now, here's where it gets kind of odd, okay? There are altars that people have built that are definitely unauthorized.
Okay.
I think we mentioned a few of them. Mm-hmm. We hammer the religious side of it. And even though there's a certain thing that's called true religion, the Bible talks about true religion, taking care of the orphan, the widow.
Yeah.
That's not what we're talking about when we're talking about religion. We're talking about all this extra stuff that people think is necessary and we have imposed on people.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And hold people into bondage to, right? And we call that holy when really it's not.
It's not.
The altar of religion is a huge altar.
Yeah.
That people have built over time.
Yeah.
And they've built it so strong, you know what I mean? Brick by brick over centuries.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That when you begin to tear these altars down, it almost shakes the foundation of an entire region, I say a whole nation.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Because that particular altar is so big.
Yeah.
And so, but we have to understand this too, man, is even though it's a big altar and even though it's been used a whole lot, again, do not use these things to worship the Lord.
Oh, yeah, God. Yeah. The size doesn't matter.
Does not matter.
It's the quality of it.
Absolutely.
And if the quality, if the quality's not right,
sure,
God's not interested.
No.
And that's really the bottom line, man.
Yeah.
I mean, we've put a lot of words around it, but the bottom line, the bottom line is the anything that you bring before the Lord that he deems unholy is unholy.
Our opinion doesn't matter.
That he deems unacceptable is unacceptable. You're anything
right.
that we bring to God that he deems acceptable, praise God, it's acceptable.
Yeah.
I heard a preacher many, many, many years ago say it like this, and I thought it was quite descriptive and kind of, you know, it was a neat preaching point. He says, you offer up worship. God breathes in your worship, right? He mm-hmm. inhales your worship and he exhales his presence, what you need. So on and so forth.
Yeah.
And I thought that's pretty good. I like that.
Yeah.
I don't remember who said it, but you know, if they're listening, they can take credit for it. I don't remember. I didn't. but But yeah, I mean, I like the premise of it, but we're taking it a step further and we're saying there are things that God doesn't like.
There are things that he doesn't like. Genesis 4:6 says this. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, and I think in some translations it says, if you do what's right,
yeah,
will you not be accepted?
There you go.
You know,
there you go.
It's about doing, and in order to know what is right, you're going to have to get that from God.
You have to.
If Cain would have brought his offering in the same manner that Abel brought his, just as a side note.
Yeah.
Okay. We bring up all these reasons why the offering wasn't accepted. And Cain's offering didn't contain blood. We don't know that that's true.
We don't know that that's true at all.
We don't know. In fact, Cain was a tiller of the ground.
Right.
So Cain brought what he had.
Yes.
If he would have brought something that had blood, he would have had to get it from somebody else, that's which right. was his brother.
Right.
And then bring that.
Right.
So Cain was a tiller of the ground. This is what we know, right? Yes. There is all kind of reasons why people come up. But Hebrews tells us, it says, by faith, Abel offered up a more perfect sacrifice.
Yep.
There was something that Abel did by faith when he offered up that Cain didn't do. And God says, if you do what's right, if you did what he did the same way that he did it,
right,
with the same faith that he had, not going through the motions, that's the religious part, right?
Right.
Not going through the motions, not doing it begrudgingly. Sometimes that's what happens.
Yeah.
But if you did it like he did it, you would be accepted too.
I don't know this to be a hard fact, but I often consider that scripture you just quoted out of Hebrews, right? Hebrews 11, by faith, Cain. Mm-hmm. And I've often considered that that is the actual answer.
Yeah.
Abel offered with faith.
With faith, yeah.
Could it be that Cain, that was his downfall, he offered in a more religious way?
I believe that's what it is. It wasn't
in faith.
Absolutely.
I've often considered that the actual answer to why his offering was rejected was because God knew it wasn't really in faith.
It wasn't really in faith.
Not that it didn't have blood, like you said earlier, or that it wasn't, you know, it wasn't the right size, it wasn't the right dimension. Yeah. I mean, God gives those instructions sometimes, right?
Absolutely. You know, and at this point that we read in scripture, he had not.
He had not.
Okay, so.
But we get a clue all the way over in Hebrews 11.
Yeah.
That Cain did something. I mean, I'm sorry. Abel did something that Cain didn't. And it tells us what he did. He offered by faith.
He offered by faith. And what does the Bible tell you? It says anything not done in faith is sin.
Sin.
There you go. Yeah, connect the dots sometimes, you know.
Sometimes you got to connect the dots, man.
Honestly, this is what this religious altar does. There are people that subscribe to this that don't even know that they subscribe to it.
Yeah.
And they've been worshiping at this altar for generations.
Right.
And don't realize what they're actually worshiping.
Right.
Wow. When you're worshiping at the altar of religion, you're really, really not worshiping God.
You're not. You're worshiping religion.
You're worshiping religion and a method.
Yeah.
Is really what it is.
No, you're worshiping denominationalism.
I was going to get to that too. Yeah, yeah. But there's another altar.
Yeah.
Your denomination has become an altar. Let me tell you why. Who do I want to pick on today? If I am identified as a Calvinist.
Okay.
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 Why would I want to be identified by another man other than Jesus?
Good question.
If I'm accepting my identity that was given by John Calvin or Martin Luther or whoever, you know what I mean?
Right. John Wesley.
Then my identity is coming from another person other than who it should come from.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
And that's no different than if you're Baptist, if you're Pentecostal, if you're
Lutheran,
Presbyterian. It does not matter. People will say, well, what religion are you? Or what do you believe? Oh, I'm Baptist. Right?
Yeah.
Well, where does it tell you in the book that you are supposed to be Baptist? And it just doesn't.
It doesn't.
But this is what you identify with. And God has been like, no, you're a son. But they would rather say I'm Baptist than say I'm a son.
Right.
To as many as did believe, He gave them the right not to be called Baptist, to be called Baptist or Pentecostal. Or Lutheran. He gave you the right to be called the children of God.
Children of God. Sons of God.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic, man.
And so that's the denominations. That's another one, right?
There's so many layers, like you said. There's so many layers. It's sort of that old adage, well, we've always done it like this. And it's always been wrong. I mean, once again, guys, we're not giving our opinion. We're coming from the book.
Correct.
We're trying to represent God in the conversation. This is what God says.
Yeah.
It's holy or it's not.
Yeah.
It's righteous or it's not. It's clean or it's not. He's the one that makes the decision what it is, not us.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Yeah.
And this is part of that offering problem with Cain and Abel. He's the one that determines.
Correct.
No matter how much you try to fix it up and put a bow tie on it and throw some oil on it and everything, right?
Yeah.
Here you go, God. And he says, don't want it, not interested. He's the one that has the final say-so on whether the thing is acceptable to him or not.
I agree. It's the truth.
It's the truth.
Yeah, it's the truth.
And so if we find ourselves kind of pushing against that, then you automatically are at the altar of something or someone else.
Correct.
Other than God. And so it's sort of like as soon as it's no longer pure,
mm-hmm.
anything that you're doing is no longer pure before the Lord, it defaults into religion.
Correct.
It's not like it just hangs out there until some magical thing happens and then God finally says, okay, I'll receive it now. No, it automatically defaults to something else.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? It defaults to something else, and you can call that religion, you can call it whatever you want to call it, but if God decides that he doesn't like a thing, then it behooves every one of us to go back and say, okay, Lord, forgive me for trying to offer you something you weren't interested in.
Yeah, man.
Now, please help me to, you know, let me go back to the book and let me find out what's holy and acceptable unto you.
That's it. That's it.
And he says, which is your reasonable service, right?
Yeah.
We read that earlier. Sacrifice your heart. Sacrifice your body. Clean up your mind.
Yeah,
clean
man.
Clean up your thoughts.
Yeah.
Clean up your tongue.
Yeah.
Clean up your eyes.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go way over there now.
Let's go.
Jesus made a statement. He said, if your eye offend thee, pluck it out.
Yeah.
It's better to get into the kingdom maimed.
Yeah.
Blind. He said, if your right hand offend thee,
cut it off.
Cut it off.
Yeah.
For it's better to come into the kingdom maimed.
Yep.
Than to miss it and end up in hell.
Correct.
Dude.
Some serious stuff.
Peter didn't say that.
No.
Paul didn't say it.
No.
Bartholomew, none of them.
Thomas. John, the one that he loved.
Jesus said it. If your right eye offend thee, pluck it out, for it's better for you. So in other words, he's saying whatever it takes, I'm not going to water it down. So whatever it takes,
I love it.
I'm going to let you press into that.
Yeah.
Boy.
He's not going to change the standard.
He's not going to change the standard. Right. And so he sits there, and I guarantee you there are people wondering, why won't God say anything to me? Why won't God speak to me about the thing I'm trying to talk to him about? Because he's not interested in that. He wants you to get that thing straight over here.
Correct.
Get your eyes straight.
Yeah.
Get your heart straight.
Yeah, man.
Work on that right hand or that left hand or whichever one is offending you, right? It's offending you. It's offending me. Work on that, and then I'll talk to you.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah. You mentioned something earlier, and I have to get back to it because you said the question to be asked, and people will say, well, this is the way we always done it.
Yeah.
You know, this we've always done it this way.
Right.
That's the other altar, tradition.
Tradition, boy.
Yeah,
I'm glad we don't we couldn't close this out without mentioning tradition.
Tradition is one of those altars that we've tended to bow to quite often, to the point.
Come on,
that I've heard people say, "Well, I didn't go to church because I didn't have anything to wear."
Wow.
And you may come into a church one day with jeans and a T-shirt, and everybody looks at you like, "Why in the world would you come in here like that?"
Yeah.
And they don't understand the only reason you would turn your nose up at that person is because the altar that you bowed to demands that you do.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Right? It's not like they're coming in half naked or anything like that. They got on jeans, sneakers, and a T-shirt.
Mm.
But because it's all white Sunday and everybody has to wear white suits and white dresses, and because of that, they don't come to the place of worship.
Mm.
And it's because they know I don't have the right thing to wear.
Altars. Don't even realize it.
You're right. I'd like to take a moment, Bruce, before we get out of here, because I want to talk about some personal altars.
Okay.
If we could.
Yeah, come on.
And people have built these personal altars, and I'm going to give you the picture. They're tied between two altars. They're tied between their personal altar and the altar that you're supposed to worship God.
Yeah.
And there's a struggle with them going back and forth between the two. They really want to be at the altar to worship God.
Yeah.
But this other altar keeps pulling them back. And sometimes that altar is tied to their emotions, and that's where it gets them. So sometimes, and please hear me, listeners, because I know you're listening.
Yeah.
I know you'll hear this. But that failed marriage, you can't build an altar to that.
Mm.
You can't stay there.
Wow, man. That's good. That's really good.
Because you really want to worship God at the altar, but you keep coming back to the place where you believe that you failed.
Yeah.
And you worship there too.
Yeah.
And you might not see it as worship, but you're gaining your identity from that. I've been a failed husband or a failed wife or something you're gaining your identity from that when you should be gaining your identity from God.
Wow.
You're stuck in that same place.
Yeah.
And you're tied between two altars, and you know where you really want to be.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But your memory and your soulless realm is pulling you back to the place where you failed, and that's where you got stuck.
Yeah. Wow. That's really good.
There's some tragedies that have happened to people, and I know you're listening too.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And as tragic as these things are, there are some people that have been molested or raped, and you're stuck in that one place.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And you're gaining your identity from, there's an altar. This is what I see, Bruce. There's an altar of victimhood.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And you're willing to let people just look at you and have pity on you for the rest of your life, and that's where you want to stay. I'm the one that needs your pity.
Yep.
And God says, no, you are more than a conqueror.
Yes.
And you're struggling between those two thought patterns, right? Yeah. And you know you're supposed to accept what God has said, but you're still stuck in this place.
Yeah, and you don't even see it as an altar.
You don't even see it as that.
Yeah, yeah. Boy, that's so good. That's so good. You hit the second one that I was going to jump in, so I'm not even going to touch that. That's full stop right there. There's so many people who are stuck in trauma.
Yeah, man.
10 years, 20 years, 30, 40 years, 50 years stuck in a trauma that happened that long ago.
Yeah.
And they don't realize that it is, in essence, an altar.
Yeah.
That they've tied themselves to.
Correct.
And God is saying, that's not who you are. That's not all I have for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You don't have to see the man that I do bring to you to love you the way Christ loves the church, but you won't let him love you the way Christ loves the church. Because you're tied to the altar of that failed marriage.
Yep.
And you think that he's going to do you the same way
that the
first one did.
That's right.
Or you think she's going to do you the same way that the first one did.
And you hold that person in bondage to what the first person did to you.
Person did to you.
Not realizing you're still married to the first person in your mind.
In your mind.
Soul tie.
You're still tied to that altar.
Yeah, man.
Boy, this is good right here, man.
Yeah.
There's some good stuff.
Victimhood, man. I'm telling you, trauma, this kind of stuff that people are tied to.
Yes, sir.
And they don't recognize that it's an actual altar. This is where you're trying to gain strength, and you keep revisiting that altar. You keep revisiting. You keep revisiting. I keep going back to the same place. These altars were built in the Old Testament as monuments sometimes, and where somebody did something great,
yeah,
or where God did something great, he right. would have them build an altar and worship, and that altar would stay there,
yeah,
but the people wouldn't.
But the people moved on.
There you go.
Such a beautiful point.
The people kept going.
And you know what? If you allow God to keep you moving forward,
yeah,
then that altar becomes a testimony.
Absolutely.
It becomes a testimony. This is where I was. That's what happened to me. But it's there now, and now I'm here. Thank God he set me free, and now my life is great, so on and so forth. Is that why? Okay, my last scripture
and I think
is
leads right into it.
Revelation 16:7. I found this scripture that says that altars actually speak. I think that fits right into what we were saying just now.
It does.
Altars that speak. This scripture, Revelation 16:7, y'all. And I heard the altar saying, "Yes, Lord God the Almighty, true and just are your judgments."
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Altars speak.
They speak.
They speak.
Now, the interesting thing about the altar speaking is they have a right to speak. They've been splattered with blood over and over and over and over.
Representing
the life of the flesh.
The life of the flesh
is in the blood.
Oh, come on, dude.
The life of the flesh is in the blood. And when something dies, especially when something innocent dies, the blood speaks.
Yeah.
Now, think about this. Like, I know people say, what do you mean the blood speaks? Abel's blood cried out from the ground.
There you go. You took it right out of my mouth.
His blood cried out for vengeance.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Jesus' blood cried out the same way, but his blood cried out for mercy.
Yes. There are saints right now under the altar of God in heaven.
Yes.
And they're crying out.
Yeah, man.
So
the altar speaks,
man. They're waiting, and they said, okay, just be you know, take your time. It's coming.
Yeah.
It's coming. Be comforted. It's coming. But they're under the altar crying out. This is all Bible, man.
I love it.
This is great stuff.
This is good stuff, man. I had a good time with this.
This is great. I did too.
We may have to revisit this again, man.
I was thinking it as you were saying it.
We may have to revisit this again. This is a good one.
Because there's a lot more that we could say about.
Oh, man, there's so much more.
I mean, there's a lot more that we could say. But
listen, for all you folks, if any of this stuff has touched you, and I know there's some of you out there that it has touched you, I'm just going to be quite honest with you. God wants to set you free.
Amen.
If you've been in that traumatic experience and you find yourself going back and forth, you know what's right to do.
Yeah.
But you still go back to that same place of pain, that same place of trauma. If you do what's right, will you not be accepted?
Yeah. Yeah.
If you do what's right, will you not be accepted? God will accept you, but you have to be able to allow God to free you. God wants to free you, but he will not override your will.
Yeah.
It's the truth that you know that will make you free.
Amen. Wow. Troy, before we close, I really felt impressed of the Lord to say this as well. There are people listening that can't stand Christmas, can't stand New Year's, can't stand certain birthdays, can't stand different holidays because it got tied to a traumatic thing.
Yeah.
And so every year at that time, they almost go into a depression.
Yeah.
And they think it's just sadness, but I believe I hear the Lord saying to say on that, we don't have no idea who's going to listen to this, but I believe it's going to help people.
Yeah.
That some of that is you're not revisiting, and that's why you're sad. You're revisiting because you never left.
Yeah.
And God wants to, as you just said, God wants to free you from being tied to that thing, because even that can become an altar. To where you're sad every Thanksgiving, you're sad because grandma passed away at Thanksgiving, or a son or a daughter. I mean, the trauma was real and it hurt. But we also were told to don't grieve as if we have no hope.
That's right. That's right.
And so we can be free.
Yes.
Every one of us can be free. I've been freed from so many wonderful things, and I'm sure there will be other things that I will need to come and lay down before the Lord's altar.
Yeah.
And not give other altars the opportunity to tie me down. I stay tied down at his altar and say, God, you know I'm hurting. I'm bringing it to you so that I can grieve properly and then get up, leave that behind, and keep moving forward. I hope that helps somebody.
Humility dictates that you bring your issues to the altar of God. Self-control dictates that you leave it
that,
there.
That you leave it there. Fantastic.
What we need to do. Listen, fantastic. If any of this stuff has resonated with you, I'm doing something a little bit different, please. Okay. I want you to reach out to us.
Amen.
info@h20live.org. Tell us what your issue is so that we can pray for you.
Yes, sir.
And we will pray for you. If you want us to and you include your phone number in the email, we'll call you and we'll pray for you.
Amen.
God wants you to be free. We want you to be free, and you deserve to be free.
Amen.
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 I'm Troy.
And I'm Bruce.
And we thank you so much for spending your time with us here under the Fig Tree.